From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Mike has a giant opportunity in front of him. It is a multi-billion dollar opportunity. And let me explain it to you so that you can appreciate the scale. All right, so his company, which is going to remain nameless for a moment for reasons you'll understand in a minute, his company owns 22 service brands. These are brands that come and fix your home. So like, for example, they'll replace your windows or they'll do your plumbing or fix your air conditioner or whatever. They're home service brands. And again, he has 22 of them. And 19 of them are franchises. They bring in about $2 billion annually in sales and are in a combined 1.5 million homes. So you got all that? The point is, Mike's company is pretty big. Now, that was all just set up so you can understand the opportunity. And here it is. Back in 2016, his company crunched some numbers.
We said, of the homes that we've been in the last year, how many the last 2 years have done business with more than one of our brands? It was 1.7%.
Did you just fall on the floor and convulse? Because if you had been following me properly, you should have done exactly that. Again, Mike has 22 brands, and yet only 1.7% of his customers had done business with more than one of those 22. Which is a problem, of course, because one of the best ways to grow revenue is to maximize the value of your existing customers. You are already in touch with them. There is no customer acquisition cost. They already do business with you, and presumably they like you, so there is no uphill challenge of convincing them to trust you. They are in your world. You should sell them more stuff. That is basic business. But Mike had a problem. He had 22 brands in 1.5 million homes, and yet 98.3% of his customers just weren't being maximized.
Just to give you an idea of the size of our sandbox, while we do $2 billion in system sales today, our sandbox is north of $350 billion.
I'll do a little translation there. Oh my God, there is so much money to be made if he can just get his existing customers to try out one more of his 22 brands. Just one more. Now, how is he going to do that? It is a complicated question and a complicated answer. But one of the most important answers is right there in the name of the company. So that's why I hadn't told it to you yet. But now I'm going to let Mike introduce himself and his company.
My name is Mike Bidwell. I'm CEO. And today we call it Neighborly. Formerly it was DeWire Group.
That went fast, I know. So I'm going to say it slower. Mike is the CEO of a company called Neighborly. But it wasn't always Neighborly. For most of its existence, it was called the DeWire Group. And maybe you heard of that or maybe you hadn't, but anyway, I am sure you've heard of at least some of their 22 brands, which include Mr. Reuter, Glass Doctor, Mr. Handyman, and Molly Maid. So you got all these recognizable brands, and of course that leads to a question, why change the parent company name? What does that even matter? Nobody has ever interacted with the DeWire Group as a consumer. Why would it matter? Here's why. Because to Mike, everything flows from it. That lowly 1.7% of customers using multiple brands, that was a DeWire Group problem. But when the company changed its name to Neighborly, it was signaling something new. Now, this is part two of my Problem Solver series about name changes. Last week, we learned about Oath changing its name to Verizon Media, which was mostly a change done for internal purposes. The goal was to signal something to employees. Today, we're going to look at the other side of that. When the DeWire Group was changed to Neighborly, the goal was to signal something externally. The goal was to reach customers. And how has it worked? Well, it's still early days at Neighborly, but it is also a fascinating case study across a gigantic player in the franchise world, and Mike has already learned quite a lot. So today, we are going to learn what he's learned. It is part two of a series of grand naming experiments, and it's coming up right after the break. You know what I hate? Hiring. I mean, I should love it. Bringing in fresh ideas and new minds, so great, except actually finding those people can be such a hassle. It takes time to hire, and that's time you don't have when you're growing your business. You need to reach the right candidates at the right time. And that is where LinkedIn comes in. Over 600 million members visit LinkedIn to make connections, learn, and grow as professionals, and to discover new job opportunities. That's how they make sure your job gets posted in front of the people with the right skills, hard skills, and soft skills to meet your role requirements. LinkedIn does the legwork to match you with the most qualified candidates so you can focus on hiring the person who will transform your business. And I especially love how much it costs. You pay only when a candidate views your job post. Tell LinkedIn how much you want to spend, and it'll even give you an estimate of how many applicants you can expect to receive. Yes, with LinkedIn Jobs, you can pay what you want. And the first $50 is on them. Just visit linkedin.com/problem solvers. Again, that's linkedin.com/problem solvers to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. And now, our next sponsor. I had this frustrating, like insane problem. My personal website is built on one platform, and my personal newsletter uses another platform. So whenever someone used the native signup form on my site, I would get an email about it, and they would have to manually input this new person's email address into my newsletter platform. And, oh, this was time-consuming. But you know what solved it? Zapier. Because that's the kind of thing Zapier does. Zapier is the easiest way to automate your work. We all use lots of different apps and pieces of software, and Zapier enables them to work together seamlessly. For example, Zapier lets you instantly engage with leads, then send them to a CRM or spreadsheet, then notify your team so that they can act fast on every opportunity. Zapier supports more than 1,500 business applications, so the possibilities are virtually endless. The point is, it handles all the nitty-gritty so you can focus on the work that matters. And right now, through November, try Zapier free by going to our special link, zapier.com/problem solvers. That's zapier.com/problem solvers for your free 14-day trial. zapier.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So this is an episode about the Dwyer Group becoming Neighbourly, which means that we should first take a look at what the Dwyer Group even was. So, I don't know, here's a good question. Who was Dwyer?
Well, the founder, whose name was Don Dwyer. He founded the company in 1981 in Waco, Texas, with Rainbow. At that time, it was just pretty much carpet cleaning. And he acquired his next company in 1989. That was Mr. Reuter Plumbing.
So now Don Dwyer has two brands, which means that he needed a parent company under which these two brands could exist. And he called it the Dwyer Group, which seems reasonable, right? The thesis back then was that no customer needed to know the name of the parent company. Instead, they just needed to know the name of the brand that they were engaging with. You need plumbing? You call Mr. Reuter, not the Dwyer Group. And then they just kept adding brands to that portfolio. Now, if you heard the first episode of our two-part series on name changes here, you'll know that we met a leader who walked into his company and said, "Hey, this company name sucks. It is time to change it." But that is not the case with today's story and Mike Bidwell, because Mike joined the Dwyer Group early, back in 1984 when he was 26 years old. He was a franchisee then and eventually went on to become the company's first multi-concept franchisee, meaning that he owned units of more than one brand. Then he was invited to sell his units and join corporate, first as president of one of the brands, then three brands, and then he kept rising the ranks until 5 years ago he became CEO. So this means that Mike has a near-perfect institutional memory for what has worked and what hasn't at the Dwyer Group. And he remembers back in 1995 when the company had five brands and first awoke to the great potential of engaging existing customers.
We started to think, you know, there should be an opportunity to extend customers from one brand to another. It's expensive for franchisees to acquire customers. And if you could, you know, that's a customer that is buying a professional home service, we should be able to share the customer. So over the years, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 years, we would try some kind of initiative or pilot to figure out how can we get these franchisees to work together and share customers. Every time we tried to do it, it just didn't work.
And what were they doing? Basically everything they could think of.
We got these at your service cards where we put all the brands on them with discounts. Yeah, we wanted each of the franchisees to hand them out on each job. We did some radio advertising and just a lot of intensive, hands-on, burdensome type stuff. But we wanted to see if we could make this work. And we organized meetings for franchisees to share customers explicitly. And we started to get a little bit of traction. But as soon as we kind of got it going and said, okay, y'all got this now. We can't do this in every market. But now that we've got it going here, you guys need to take the ball and run with it. As soon as we took our hands off it, it just evaporated very quickly.
And that's because it was too much of an administrative burden on these franchisees. They had enough to deal with running their own businesses. They didn't have time for this abstract project where they'd help other brands and maybe see a return themselves.
So at that point, we realized if this cross-marketing thing is ever going to work, we've got to own it. We've got to make it happen.
So the Dwyer Group buckles down to take on the challenge. They institute all sorts of new technology so that they can gather data and share it across brands. And they also become an early adopter of Net Promoter Scores, that system of surveying customers to learn how to improve your business. And at the time, this was like 15 years ago, the Dwyer Group figured out that Net Promoter Scores would be such a motivating force that they should be visible throughout the company. So they built these dashboards for each franchisee so that they could see their scores relative to the entire system, and even took it down to the individual service employees level so that, you know, the company could see how individual technicians ranked. And the Dwyer Group also figured that these Net Promoter Surveys would be a good way to inform customers about multiple other brands.
So it would go like this. You have one of our brands out, say it'd be Mr. Ritter. And then in 24 hours later, you would get a survey because that would come back through that POS system that job was complete. Somebody would call you and say, hi, this is Mr. Ritter. We were in your home yesterday. And can we ask you 4 short questions? It'll only take a minute. And we would ask if you were satisfied. And if you were, and almost all of our customers were, then we would introduce you to another brand. Well, gee, since you were so happy, we have an affiliate company, a sister company, Mr. Electric, or AirServe Heating and Air. Would you like to get some money-saving ideas about a more efficient system? So we thought since people would be so happy and they're consuming home services that they would say, yes, you know, I'd like to know more. Almost nobody did. Almost everyone said no.
Oof, denied. Now, it turns out that Net Promoter Scores weren't a total bust. The company actually saw its scores rise over the next year as franchisees were able to react to their numbers and work hard to please customers. But in terms of actually moving customers from one brand to another, that was just a total bust, a dead end. The Dwyer Group totally stumped. And more time passes. The Dwyer Group keeps thinking about this problem, but just cannot crack it. And then we enter a more modern e-commerce era. Amazon and others start to make people very comfortable with ordering products online. It just becomes natural. And Mike and his team at Dwyer Group start to think, if people are ordering products online, maybe the next frontier will be ordering services online. And if they're going to order services online, well, crap, we aren't very good at that. I mean, the Dwyer Group did have individual brands, of course, and those brands had websites, so you could order a plumber from Mr. Ritter online. But if you were a homeowner and looking for a range of services, the range of services that Dwyer Group happens to own through all of its brands, well, the Dwyer Group had nothing to offer for you. I mean, it just had no functional consumer website like that. It was not a destination in any meaningful way. And yeah, the Dwyer Group could make a destination, but it started to dawn on the team there that, you know, I mean, is anyone going to go shopping for home services at something called the Dwyer Group? Nobody knows what that is. It certainly doesn't seem to suggest anything about being a leader in home services. So if they were going to do this, they needed a destination that would resonate with consumers. Maybe this, the Dwyer Group people thought, would be the key. An all-in-one shopping destination, a place consumers go to find multiple brands. And so the question was, what to call this thing? So the company did some market research and came up with the name, Neighbourly. They should rename their company Neighbourly and then broadcast to people that this is a company for all your home needs. Now, here's the thing you might wonder. Why not just, I don't know, come up with a website and call it something like reallygreathomeservices.com or whatever the hell, and just stock it with all the Dwyer Group brands? Why go through the giant fuss of changing the company's name? It is a good question. I had it too. Mike had thought a lot about this, and he has 2 answers. So here we are. Number 1.
To avoid additional confusion by having yet another brand out there.
Because to create, reallygreathomeservices.com makes for just something else underneath the Dwyer Group. And just as important, answer number 2.
Also, to show commitment to both our associates and our franchisees that we were all in on this and it wasn't just some kind of a initiative of the day.
Because as we know, the Dwyer Group had tried a lot of initiatives of the day. They never worked. And if you were a franchisee in this company, you could be forgiven for feeling jaded about all these new things. Like, oh God, another one? But here was a very clear, very real message. The company is literally changing its name. It is going all in for this. And how did people in the Dwyer Group, now about to be Neighborly, respond to this?
In 2017, and we got a standing ovation, which isn't a common thing in franchising, by the way. You know, franchisees are usually a little bit wait and see with franchisors.
So, pretty good start. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Let's say you're the Dwyer Group, and now you're Neighborly. This actually forces you to think entirely differently about who you are and how people perceive you, because the corporate entity of Dwyer Group never had to be consumer-facing. It never had to think about how to engage on that level. But the very point of Neighborly is to become a consumer-friendly destination.
So we've had to create an entirely new department, hire new brand managers for Neighborly, not just within the brands. Then now you have to work through these other brand managers and brand presidents and franchisees, frankly.
They've also started thinking more system-wide about data and how to collect and process that data. Neighborly is now running drip email campaigns, for example, and following consumers around the internet with targeted ads to expose them to different brands. And they're also experimenting with adding Neighborly branding to all their brands. So, for example, on trucks or invoices, there'll be the name of the home services franchise that a customer used, but then also Neighborly. And Neighborly is starting to be proactive about presenting itself to customers as a solution to problems.
We asked them, do you want to be connected to Neighborly? You can connect an online profile if you like. If you do, you'll find all your service history records there in our online site at getneighborly.com. You can find blog content, how to care for your home and keep track of your records. You can set up service reminders for yourself, for things you should do, like change your air conditioning filters, or things you may want us to do.
And as all this happens, Neighborly is starting to explore questions that it just would have never thought of before. Like, okay, here's a pretty fascinating one. What is the next logical service that a customer might use? So, for example, if they got their windows repaired, are they more or less likely to need a plumber next? It seems, I don't know, impossible to answer this question, but they are trying. If they can find a pattern, then they know how to market a second brand more effectively to an individual consumer. That now is what Neighborly's trying to do.
We're hiring data scientists to mine that data warehouse so that we can be more intelligently navigate all of this.
And they're starting to explore very tricky subjects. Like, for example, this experiment that they're now running.
We're doing a pilot in one of our markets right now. In Huntsville, we're in the process of elevating the Neighborly brand to be the bigger brand on the co-branding versus the smaller brand.
Did you follow that? It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is. It's a big deal. So let's think about this. In the past, back in the Dwyer Group days, let's say that you, a consumer, needed your sink fixed. You'd call your local Mr. Rooter franchise, and a Mr. Rooter van will show up with Mr. Rooter branding on it. That is that. That makes sense to everybody. Now, when the Dwyer Group changed to Neighborly, that Mr. Rooter branding changed a little bit. It was more distinctively Mr. Rooter, but it now also had this little Neighborly branding on it. It's kind of like Mr. Rooter by Neighborly. But now, in this pilot in Huntsville, they're switching things around. Now the branding is most prominently saying Neighborly, and under that, Mr. Rooter. And this is a logical branding exercise, right? You want to see if all of this repetition, all of this seeing Neighborly will drive more trust and recognition for the company as a whole, which will then go to benefit all the franchise brands underneath it. But remember I said this is a bigger deal than it sounds? Here's why. I'm actually just going to play you my question to Mike and then his long, thoughtful response.
If I were in Huntsville, if I were a Mr. Rooter franchisee in Huntsville and Neighborly became the dominant brand on my truck, it might occur to me, well, why exactly does Mr. Rooter exist? Why at this point isn't it just Neighborly, which also like Neighborly, which you go to for your windows and your plumbing and your carpet cleaning and your whatever. Like Neighborly is the brand and it offers lots of services. Instead of it's Neighborly, it's Mr. Rooter, then you offer the service. Has that come up?
Yeah, once again, very astute. Yes, it has. We just had our annual convention earlier this month, and it did come up. We announced the Huntsville pilot and so that franchisees across the North America would be aware of it because it's always better if they hear those things from us. And certainly we have buy-in from the franchisees in that market. We educated them very explicitly on what we're attempting to accomplish here. And some that haven't had that level of detail on the education have gotten kind of excited, not necessarily in a good way, about just what you're describing. Are you going to eliminate my brand, which I've spent maybe 20 years building in my local market? And so that's kind of a natural thing. We expected that that would happen. And the answer to that question is there's no plan to do that at this time. And I would say we don't have a plan to do it in the future. But I would never say we would never do that because I don't know what the future holds. What I do know today is that we do need a brand, one brand, that customers can remember and have top of mind with, just like they do with Amazon. And they're not going to have that with some of our brands that have these longer service cycles. So it is important to them. And the messaging to the franchisee is, look, this is all about getting you more customers. If we could double your business, would you be okay with having Neighbourly being the dominant brand? And the answer logically, of course, is, well, yes, probably. If we could reduce your customer acquisition cost to almost zero, would that be a good thing for you? And of course it is. Now, fast forwarding to the future, and does it make sense for us just to call everything Neighbourly? We're not sure that it does. We think the fact that we've got all these individual service brands that are specialist in their particular service, and many of them have a long history of being in business, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We think that it shows that we are, in fact, not these just generalists, like jack of all trades type service, that we are a collection of businesses in one platform that provide a very consistent customer experience, but we go deep in what we do. We truly are a collection of specialists.
Here's how I take that answer. This name change was about helping our existing business model. But if it takes us to a somewhat different business model, well, that's the nature of change, and we're open to change. But of course, that's all in the future. The present looks like this. It has been about a year and a half since the Dwyer Group became Neighbourly, and I wondered, of course, what has improved? Remember, back in 2016, only 1.7% of customers had used more than one Neighbourly brand. And what has happened since?
Yeah, we've increased to 50% in the first 18 months, which is on a small base, admittedly, but it took us 37 years to get to 1.36 years to get to 1.7%. So we think there's going to be this kind of geometric progression. There'll be quite a J curve to it.
So this brings us to the end of our two-part series on name changes. And to me, the most fascinating thing to come out of all this is just how far out a name change can ripple. It may be about signaling something to your employees, your customers, but it also forces a company to think differently about itself and to look differently at itself and to act differently as well. It raises intriguing and sometimes uncomfortable questions, which leads to insights and challenging answers. A name is not just a name. It is an identity. It's a mode of thinking. And when you change that, well, you kind of change everything. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.